Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is the part of our service where we prepare our hearts and our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper. And perhaps you heard the news story that happened, it was actually kind of late last week, where a gentleman not far from here, actually just over on the coast, Riviera Beach, Florida, an employee named Shane Mealy broke into his boss's office and stole a bunch of quarters that his boss had there in that locked office. So he did what any reasonable thief would do. He took all of those quarters to his nearest Coinstar machine at, I think it was a Winn-Dixie, and piled it in the machine and got about $30 of store credit for that pile of quarters, and used that store credit to buy 2 12-packs. And that's what he got. That's not why the story was reported in the national news. Crazy part of that story is that the quarters he stole were actually part of a rare coin collection. And that if he had bothered to check and see the value of what he was holding right there, he would have discovered that those quarters were worth approximately $33,000. And so when the boss figured out what happened and called the police, the man was arrested for grand theft, not for petty theft. And sadly, the authorities were unable to track down all of those quarters because too much time had passed. They had already been emptied out of the Coinstar machine and put back into circulation somewhere. So the lesson for you this morning, if you remember nothing else, is to check your pocket. Because that wasn't too far away from here. And if you just happen to have a strange-looking quarter, maybe it says 1934 on it or something like that, you might just have part of that collection. But get the irony. Mr. Shane Mealy did not appreciate the value of what he was holding in his hand. And so he turned a treasure worth $33,000 into a slip of paper worth about 30 bucks. Is it fair to say that, in a way, that is what many have done with our Savior? One very plain example of this is the man named Judas. That Judas was one of Jesus' original disciples who began very early in Jesus' ministry. And even though you already know when you hear the word Judas for the evil, threatening music to begin playing, what we sometimes forget is that Judas was a disciple of Jesus, that he had everything, he experienced everything, he enjoyed every blessing that all of the other disciples enjoyed. He was with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. He left everything to follow Jesus, left his home, left his family, and followed Jesus for 3 years. The scripture teaches us that Judas, of course, heard all of the same amazing teachings that were coming out of Jesus' mouth. Beyond that, you know that Judas was even teaching those things to others. He wasn't just a learner, but he was a teacher of those truths also, that Jesus sent him out in order to proclaim the kingdom. Judas witnessed all the same powerful miracles that Jesus performed. Didn't just see them, but Judas actually performed some of those miracles himself. That Judas was right there healing and casting out demons along with the rest of Jesus' 12 apostles. So Judas, for all of these advantages, for all of these benefits, has before him what he ought to know is the precious Savior of mankind. And yet there was something else in Judas's heart. Judas was nursing greed. Judas had a problem with money. John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, says that Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, this is just after that bottle of perfume was broken and then anointed upon the body of Jesus by that woman. He said indignantly, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money bag, sorry for the typo there, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Judas had an issue with greed. Judas, more than that, misunderstood the great value of what he possessed right there in front of him. Despite the fact that he had taught Jesus words, that he had healed through the power of Christ, he still did not appreciate of that which was right in front of him. And so this is what he did. In Matthew 26, in verses 14 through 16, he went, Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out another 30 pieces of silver to him. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Well, you know how that story ends. And you can see the corruption that was in Judas's heart to balance in the scales the Savior of mankind, the very Son of God, and 30 pieces of silver. If it was silly for this man in Riviera Beach, Florida, to balance 30 bucks with 30,000, how much worse it is for Judas to take 30 pieces of silver in exchange for the life of the one perfect man. But let me ask, lest we think that this is just a story for someone else, what is the value of Jesus to you? Because the story of Judas' rejection of the Lord, of his mistaken value that he placed upon Jesus, is a story that is repeated thousands of times each and every day. As people look at Jesus and yet do not value him with what he is truly worth. So what value does Jesus have to you? How about Jesus' words, the words which he spoke? What value does that have to you in your life? In Luke chapter 4, it says that the people were just falling all over themselves to hear more, that they were receiving the words that were falling from his lips and saying, "What gracious words this man speaks." Although just a few minutes later, after Jesus presented to them a challenging message, in the same sermon, by the way, it was like a switch had been flipped, and they went from praising his lesson to condemning his lesson and driving him out of their synagogue and to a cliff where they could throw him down and kill him. They did not value Jesus' word. As soon as it became challenging, they changed their minds. John 14 and verse 15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so appreciating the value of Jesus' word and determining to follow is how we recognize the value of Jesus. What is the value of Jesus' blood to you? 1 Peter 1 verses 18 through 19 says that we are redeemed not by gold or silver or these corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Christ. It is the one and only thing that can serve to wash away our sins. Nothing else can do that. So that makes it beyond value, beyond price, beyond putting a price tag upon the blood of Jesus. And yet, so many reject that offer, reject that blood, and do not receive forgiveness through Christ, exchanging it for something else. What is the value of Jesus' blood to you? And third and finally, what is the value of Jesus himself? Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33 talks about those who will stand before God in judgment. And Jesus says, those who claim his name, those who confess his name before others, right here, right now upon earth, those who own up to their loyalty to Christ, that when we stand before God in judgment, then Jesus will own up to his loyalty to us. That he will say, that right there is one of mine. He claimed loyalty to me upon the earth. He confessed my name before others. But if I deny Jesus before others, then he will deny us before his heavenly Father. What is the value of Jesus' name, of Jesus himself in your life? We know the end of the story with Judas, right? Matthew 26, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man had he never been born." What an awful sentence of judgment to hear those words. It would be better for Judas had he never drawn breath, had he never been born. So terrible are the punishments that await because of his rejection of Jesus, because he valued 30 pieces of silver more than he valued his relationship with Christ. But I ask each and every one of us, how do we value Jesus? We demonstrate that by how we treat his words, by how we receive his blood, by how we follow his example, and whether or not we claim loyalty to him in this earth, in this life. What is Jesus' value to you? So as we assemble around this table this morning, we're about to sing a song, and then we will partake of the blood, which is, or the bread, which is his body, the blood, which is, I am just, need more sleep last night, don't I? We will partake of the bread, which is his body, the fruit of the vine, which is his blood. And we will, with these emblems, remember that great sacrifice. By gathering around this table, by worshiping God this morning, we demonstrate how Jesus is the most important thing to each and every one of us. Thank you. Bruce.